Good to see you here today. Take your Bibles, if you will, and let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 4 through 10. 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's good to have Larry and Linda Giles with us today, former members, and their son and Ellen Peoples were married here yesterday. So they're off on their honeymoon, but it's always good to have you back here and good to have other visitors here with us today from out of town and others visiting in the class. We're in a study of listening to God. That's the series for the Sunday school. We've talked about the fact that God is still talking, and I believe He is. Amen. God is still talking. Number two, God's purpose in speaking. Why does He speak? And we've gone over some of those. And then God's way of getting our attention. I found that to be a very interesting study, how God gets our attention when we're really not listening to Him. And then how to know when God is speaking. How do we know it's God, not the devil, or some bad advice? Factors that determine what we hear. We've dealt with those. And then today we're looking at the question, really, are you listening to God? Are you listening to God? 1 Samuel 3, and let's begin with verse 4. You're familiar, most of you, with the story. I hope you have your textbook, which is the Bible. And he says, beginning in verse 4, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call thee not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Well, Samuel wasn't used to listening to the Lord, but Eli taught Samuel how to listen to God, at least to recognize that God was speaking. And when we're committed to God, I think we'll want to hear from God, and then what we hear we'll want to do, because God speaks to our hearts. And we have to learn to listen to God. We have to work at listening to God. And we all are His children if we're born again and we want to do it. So we have to listen to God, first of all, expectantly. Expectantly. It's always good to listen and listen for His voice and expect God to do something and to answer our prayers. Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." So when we call on the Lord, we want Him to speak to us, do things in our lives, we ought to do it expectantly. That involves faith. Believe that God will speak to us. How many of us believe today that God will really speak to us? And He will. And if you believe that, raise your hand. God will speak to us. And so I'm glad that He does. We just have to believe it. And Jeremiah and others believe that because of, they base it on reliability. You know, you have people out there that you know you can accept their word because of the reliability of their password. And so it was with Jeremiah, and so it was with Elijah. Elijah expected God to speak. Elijah expected to hear from God. He had experienced the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah. These had been destroyed and God had gone into action, and all of the different things that took place with the altar and the trench and the water and pouring it on three times and then the fire lapping all of that up. Elijah knew that God was able and that God could speak, and God did speak, and he had spoken before. And you can read about that, 1 Kings chapter 18, and that gives you that story of what took place there. But God predicted also a drought, that it was going to come. And God not only predicted it, but God executed it. And also the widow of Zarephath, the son of the widow of Zarephath, was raised to life. And Elijah had experienced all of that. He had experienced God in the past. And so Elijah expected God to answer, and he expected to hear from God because he had faithfully responded in the past. Do you today expect God to be faithful to speak and to hear his voice and to believe that he really wants to speak to us? So we need to do it expectantly. Secondly, we need to do it what I would call quietly. Psalm 46:10. Hear the voice of God from a position of quietness. Be still and know that I am God. We're so busy in our lives, we're just going back and forth our schedules. We have very little margin. We ought to have some margin in our lives. Most of us don't have it. We're pushing a heavy schedule. Yet God says, be still, know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. But sometimes that exaltation has to come from our being quiet, being still before God. A lot of times what we do is we report all of our requests and then we just walk away. We give God our list of want-tos, what I want, what I need, what I'd like for you to do for me. And we do all of that and report our requests to God. But many times we don't take the time to meditate and to listen to what God is saying. We spend a lot of time watching television and some of the visual media, and all that really does is sort of jam our minds up with interference, so that we can't really hear the Word of God like we ought to. But we need to spend time before God quietly, take time to listen to God. Psalm 62:5, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. What a good verse that is for us to remember. My soul waits silently for God alone. Be listening for God. And sometimes that means we're going to have to get in seclusion. We need to be in seclusion. And in the past, and history bears this out, that throughout the centuries, people would, if they wanted to hear from God, they might go to a cave, or they might get out on the desert. Many times God would lead them there, or in the mountains, and some even later in a monastery. The whole idea was to get away from the noise of civilization, all that's going on around us, so that we can listen to God, get alone with God. Now today we can do the same thing. We can do it in our living room. You can do it in your living room late at night. You can do it at the kitchen table. Sometimes that can be done early in the morning before you get started to your regular routine or the job that you're going to. But we need that quiet time with God. Every believer should have some quiet time every day of our lives with God so that we can be sensitive to what God is saying. Here's a statement that I think is very important. The place isn't important, but quietness is. You can be out on your patio, you can be in a bedroom, you can be in the living room, you can be wherever you want to, but the important thing is not the place, but it is the quietness. So we need to listen expectantly, and we need to listen quietly in that kind of environment, and then patiently. Sometimes we don't want to wait for God to speak to us. We get very impatient. God does not always speak to us instantaneously. He does not always speak to us instantaneously. And here's one reason I think we're not always ready for Him to speak to us. Sometimes He has to get us ready so He can tell us what He wants us to do so that we'd be willing to do it. And so there are times, I believe, that God withholds speaking to us about a certain thing until we're prepared. And sometimes that stretches our faith, doesn't it? We want God to answer it right now. We get up from our knees after we prayed, Lord, I expect you to answer it right now. And many times he does, and that's all right to have faith. But sometimes he stretches our faith. Sometimes it takes time to get us ready so that God can answer the prayer and so God can speak to us about what he wants us to do. So when we're in the process of waiting, sometimes he is changing us, preparing us to hear the message that he has for us. And that means we have to be patient and wait on the Lord. And then we need to do it actively. Actively. What do we mean? Well, meditate on the Word. Meditate on the Bible. That's close akin to something we've already said, but a little different. Meditate on the Bible. Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. If you want wisdom, you're going to get it from the Word of God. That's the primary source of our wisdom to do that. So we need to search it out. We need to digest it. And that's not enough. There should be another step. What would you think it would be? We need to apply it. Search it out, digest it, understand what it means, and then apply it. A lot of times when we're meditating on the Word, sometimes God will allow a verse or a phrase in a verse just to leap out at us. How many of you have ever experienced that, where you're studying and the Lord just, there was something in that verse you came to and just leaped out at you? I heard a preacher say the other day, he was reading through a whole book of the Bible, and he wasn't trying to make notes or do anything, just meditating on it and going on. And finally got to the very end, the last, almost some of the last verses in the last chapter, and he said that verse just really leaped out at me, and he preached on that particular verse. And so sometimes God does that for us. God speaks and God leads, and we need to be good followers. Precise. God is precise in his instructions and his promises that he gives through his Word. And God will do that. We need to meditate on the Word and let God comfort us with the verses of Scripture that he may really give us. I remember on an occasion where I had been invited to speak to as many as over 5,000 in one location in a Christian college. And I was like, Lord, I don't know that I can handle that. I've spoken to some crowds that were fairly large, but never one that large, and most of them students, and a lot of them theological students, and that was going to be a challenge. But God gave me the verse in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And I said, that's all the verse I needed to go ahead and do it. And it turned out pretty good as far as I know. I hadn't heard any differently. But there are those occasions where you're meditating, you're seeking God's face and all of that, trying to make a decision, and God gives you a verse. Meditate on the Word. Be active. Stay in the Word. And then do it confidently. We need to hear what we need to hear. Hear what we really need to hear. And I underscore that word need. It's not just what we want to hear. A lot of times we want to hear something, and we pick out what we want to hear. Even sometimes when the pastor is preaching, a lot of people will pick out what they want to hear. Brother Gillett, you know that's true. And they'll pick out what they want to hear, but you get on something a little controversial, a little straight, right out of the Word of God, sometimes they want to turn you off. They don't want to hear that. But we need to hear what God wants us to hear, not just what we want to hear. And so that's sort of like parents and children. You're going to give them a command or give them an imperative and tell them, here's something I want you to do, but it would be wise for you to be able to let them know how to do that thing. Hopefully they have that knowledge and that instruction and that information. And so we get that information from the Lord. Matthew 7:11. If ye then, being evil, that's us, sinners, know how to give good gifts unto your children, and we do, How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And our Father loves us, and he treats us wonderfully. And so God wants to give us information. He wants us to hear it. And if he's going to ask us to do a task, he's going to give us the information of how to do that task and what to do. And so we need to listen that way. And then we need to listen, number six, dependently. Listen dependently. Who do you depend on? Well, primarily the Holy Spirit. Depend on the Holy Spirit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians just a second. Let's take time to turn over there. Chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's drop down to verse 7 and read through verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, Paul said, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Did you get that now? He revealed these things. They didn't even understand in the Old Testament and other truths. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit is God, therefore he knows the deep things of the Father. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Nobody really understands your spirit and knows your spirit like you know your spirit. They may question your motive. They may be totally wrong about it. You know your spirit. You know your sincerity with God. And sometimes when I'm praying, I'll just pour my heart out to God and say, God, you know I'm telling you the truth. My spirit declaring that it's all in my soul, in my spirit, and I'm saying this to you, dear God, because I know in my heart what I'm saying is true. And I can speak it to the Lord. Well, he's saying the Holy Spirit is that way. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, Holy Spirit, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. God wants to teach us a lot, show us a lot, reveal a lot, and make us have wisdom. And he does it through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reveals these things to us. And this is not like any other book you read, some biography or a book on history or something of that nature. This is a spiritual book. It is spiritually discerned. And the Holy Spirit will help you discern it. He reveals. And the Holy Spirit is our receiver as such. He's in us. We receive the things of God through the Holy Spirit. We receive it like we would a receiver on a phone or a radio. I remember when I was in sales work for a while after I got out of seminary, I had a two-way radio that I carried with me. It's two-way radio. It was the size of two packages of cigarettes. You Baptists can relate to that. But at any rate, two packages of cigarettes, if you take two packages and stack one on top of the other. That's how big it was. That's how thin it was. And it had a metal case. It was much better than Motorola's. It was a GE. And so that's the salesman in me. I got to keep bragging on General Electric. But I carried that thing around. It cost $750. That one little thing. I was very careful about how I carried it around. And I didn't leave it just lying around somewhere. I would take that and really protect it. But that thing was very important. I would go to West Virginia Pulp and Paper, a big, large mill, and if they were to go down and one of the machines quit working, the person who had that could contact the person that could go fix it real quick. And then they would come back and maybe talk to them through a dial page system. And that was their receiver, that way of getting that information. You say, well, who in the world would pay that for a little radio like that? Well, when you're losing about $10,000 a minute because that machine's down, you'll pay for it, I'll guarantee you. And so that was the value of it. But they had that receiver that gave them that important information, and so it is, we have the Holy Spirit. That's why we should not quench him. That's why we should not grieve him. What's the difference? Well, grieving him is when we do something we know we're not supposed to do, and quenching him is when we don't do what he tells us to do. And that's very easy for us to do. And if we're grieving the Holy Spirit or quenching the Holy Spirit, he's not really going to reveal these things to us in his word like he would like to. So don't quench, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And then we're to do it openly. I would say the word openly. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we need to be willing to hear the word of God. Notice he says it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. And the reproof and the correction are very strong. Now, we like the comfort of the scriptures, and he does comfort us with the word of God, and I'm glad that he does. And the scripture is ours for comfort. As we have gone through this tragedy with my grandson, I'm thankful that the scriptures have comforted our hearts many, many, many different times. And God helped us get through with the comfort. I'm glad for the comfort of the scriptures, the promises of it. But then he also uses it to correct us. And God wants to do that through the scripture. And the purpose of correction is not to destroy somebody, but it's to prevent them from ruining their lives. And then we need to listen attentively. In other words, be alert. Be alert. God wants to speak. He is speaking. Be sensitive to what God wants to say to you. Sometimes something will come into my mind. I believe the Holy Spirit brings it to my mind about a person. And I'll call that person because the Holy Spirit laid them on my heart. And sure enough, find out that they were having some problems in the family or some serious health problems. And God wanted me to call them. And you have to be alert and be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that God uses is what other people say. What other people might say to you. Listen, God may be using them to help you or to speak to you certain things. A godly warning or some godly admonition or just something where someone would say, you know, you need to really be careful with that. And I have had that responsibility, I suppose you could call it, or that compassion or concern for some pastor friends of mine over the years. And I've seen some things, and I've said, you need to be careful. Because I love you, I want to tell you, watch out. Be careful, or you're going to wind up in trouble. And so God uses people and circumstances, as we've talked about. God uses those many times to speak to us. Whenever we don't quite understand what's going on in our lives, we need to see the fingerprint of God. It's always out there. We need to ask, what's happening and why is this happening? Not that you're mad at God or questioning God or going to shake your fist in God's face, but just to say, Lord, now you've allowed this and I wasn't quite expecting this to happen. What do I learn from this? What are you saying to me? Am I missing anything here? Talk to me, speak to me, Lord. And he will do that. So we need to do it attentively and then carefully. Hebrews 4:12, carefully. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and all the way into the joints and marrow, and is a discerner, I want you to underscore that word, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is that way. It's powerful and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, we would be wise to sift all that we are hearing through the Word of God. Sift it through the Word of God. The word discerner there is the Greek word kritikos. And we get our word critical from that. And so the word is the critic. The word is the judge. My mother used to have a little flour sifter. It was about this big around, about that tall, had screen here and a little deal that went round and round. How many of you remember those? All the senior citizens, all right? And she'd pour that flour in there and she'd let me do it. And I'd go and I'd run that thing and run it and the flour would come out real pretty. And then down in the bottom, it'd be a little stuff, a little junk, a little stuff that didn't go through. And we'd throw that in the garbage. Well, we need to sift everything through the Word of God. And I don't care what voice you think you're hearing. If it doesn't match up to the Word of God, it's not God's voice. He's never going to contradict His Word. The Holy Spirit will not do that. And I don't have time, but I could give you a lot of illustrations of some of the crazy things I've heard people tell me that God led them to do when it was totally, absolutely contrary to the Word of God. And then we need to do it submissively. Submissively. You know, when God speaks to us and tells us something to do, we may struggle at first. We may not even like what we hear. I remember, I've only had 3 pastorates, and I remember when God spoke to me about leaving the first church. I'd been in 7 years. God had blessed. You know, everybody thinks when you leave a church, you're in trouble. Neither church where I resigned was I in trouble, or the church in trouble. I left them both with money in the bank, every bill paid, everything going good, and the growth pattern on an upward scale. And God said, I want you to go to Indiana. Well, I'm in the heart of the Shenandoah Valley, Harrisonburg, Virginia. Anybody ever been in that area? The heart of the Shenandoah Valley. And God says, I want you to go to the cornfields and the soybean patches of Indiana. And I'm thinking, Lord, have you noticed how beautiful this is? You made it. It's so pretty. After 7 years there, I knew that that's where God wanted me to go. And then I stayed in Indiana 20 years and in a city of about 28,000, Connersville, Indiana. And after 20 years, Dr. Barber contacted me and we chatted a little bit about the possibility of me coming and preaching. I had a church almost the same size in a small city. God was blessing. The work was going well. And probably could have stayed there the rest of my life and retired right there. But God put an uneasiness in my heart. And there was a time when God specifically showed me what I should do. And then also Brother McCoy, your father, I never forget. I still needed a little seal on that to hear from God. And when Brother McCoy went through, whom I really respected, he said, I believe you're the man. He was shaking. I believe you're the man. I believe you ought to come here. I believe you're the man. And that just put a little cream on top of everything else with a cherry on top of it. And God just was making His will known to me. But to me, it didn't make sense in a way. It really didn't make sense. I'd been there 20 years and loved the people and they loved us and we had a great ministry. But God said, no, it's time to move. Didn't make sense. But I sure am glad I came here. Whether you are or not, I'm glad that I came. So we need to do it. We may struggle at first, but God is gracious. You know, Jesus even struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't he? And he said, if there's any other way, Father, for this cup to pass. But then, of course, he was totally submissive. Submission is essential when we hear God. Let's hit these next few real quickly. And we need to do it gratefully. Be grateful. Remember Calvary. That ought to make us grateful. Remember Calvary. And then one, remember that He loves you today. God loves you. There's 7.5 about billion people in the world now. And isn't it amazing that God loves you and He loves me? Individually, He loves us. God really loves us. And He wants to speak to you just as much as He wants to speak to me or Brother Gillett or Dr. Barber or anybody else. God loves all of us, and God wants us to hear His voice, and God wants to speak to us. And this ought to make us grateful. And then reverently. In other words, we must always be in awe of who God is. Be in awe of who God is. God is the divine creator. God is the one who put the sun and the world out there without even a foundation under it, so to speak. He flung them into space as He created these things. So we need to be in awe of Him. A lot of times we want to say, listen, God, thy servant is speaking. That's the wrong way to approach it. We ought to say, speak, God, thy servant is listening. You're God, and I'm listening to you. So we're committed to God. We should want to hear from God. That ought to be a desire to constantly be in fellowship with him and hear from him. And these are ways that you have to listen to God that we've mentioned. Some of them, not all of them, but these are the ways, at least some of them. The question is, are we listening? And then the bigger question is, when we hear, are we being submissive? Suppose God spoke to you and said, go to the mission field. That might not make sense to you, but if God spoke and made it clear to you, then you ought to pack your bags and go, whatever the situation may be. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us to be sensitive to the speaking of the Holy Spirit through your speaking, through others and the word. Circumstances in our life, help us to hear your voice. We want to hear it, and then we want to do what you tell us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.